Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I have a special guest. I'm on the floor with Daisy Pyo.
Yeah, hi guys.
Hey. So I actually reached out to Daisy because we've been like Instagram friends for a while, but it's the first time we're meeting in person.
Yeah.
So I invited you today because I wanted to ask you a couple things about going freelance, because I know you did that kind of recently.
Yeah,
right?
Just very recently, like right probably when the pandemic hit.
Oh shoot.
Yeah, so damn. It's very new. Yeah.
Oh whoa, okay, well I have a lot to ask about that, but yeah, that, and then I know that you are also new, or not new to the city, but you didn't grow up here.
Mm-mm, not at all. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, like more in the suburbs.
Yeah
And then I lived in Korea for a bit after college, and then I came straight from Korea to New York exactly like 2 years ago. So it's been like my second year now.
Okay, wait, so do you want to quickly introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah. So my name is Daisy Pyo. I live in Brooklyn, New York. I currently freelance. I do graphic design and social media marketing, digital stuff.
Wait, so what did you do prior to going freelance?
It's interesting. I mean, I have a very like non-linear like career path, I guess, because I studied marketing in college, and I always worked in like social media marketing and like marketing PR in general, and I always worked in the beauty field. So I worked in skincare for a skincare company in Korea, and then when I moved to New York, most of my connections were in the beauty field, so I somehow ended up at a PR agency, but it's like a beauty PR agency, through a friend. And then I was working there, but I just like was really miserable to be honest. I just like wasn't, I felt like my work wasn't aligned with like who I was to the core, and like my lifestyle, like what I wanted. It didn't like make me feel fulfilled in any way, and I feel like I just took the job because of pressure. When I first was in New York, I was like, oh my gosh, I just need a job, I just need a job like ASAP. So I just kind of took whatever came my way. I said yes, and then I just ended up there for like a year, and then it was just very exhausting, like long hours. I would get home at like 8 p.m. every day, like be at the office at like 8 a.m. Yeah, it was like insane. I had no life, because, and that's why I think my first year in New York, like as grateful as I am, I'm still grateful obviously, but it was like pretty like a dark time in my life, because like, you know, like your first year in New York is always kind of hard, right? Like
100%.
Yeah, like it's like such a lonely city, and like I don't know, it's just like really hard in the first year. And then then I just ended up doing design. I kind of just fell into it. Always like I think the one thing that I felt so like, I guess like the reason why I didn't like what I was doing at the time with my work, was because I wanted to do something more creative, and I just never really let myself go there. Like I think a part of me, like even in college, after high school, I wanted to go to art school or something, but like I just feel like, no, like you need to do something more like practical, like let's be realistic. So that's why I did business, and I don't know, I just always kept making excuses for myself. But then I realized, like, this is so corny, but I remember I was like riding the subway to work, and I was like so tired. And then I saw like an ad for like a graphic design course called Shillington. Have you heard of it? Have you seen it? There were so many ads around like 2019. And then I Googled it. And then I like was like looking through the website. I would like stalk the people that graduated from that course like on LinkedIn, like see what they were doing with their life. I was like really researching, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like these people, like, because like they had so many stories of like people who used to be like dentists and like lawyers, and then they're like, no, I want something more creative. So they like, do this course, and then they like end up with like this really nice portfolio. So yeah, I saw that, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do it. I went to like an information session. I like literally went on the site every day, but I couldn't get myself to quit my job and do it because I was so scared. Right? Yeah. I was like, there's no way.
What is it called again?
It's called Shillington.
Shillington.
Yeah. Oh, so okay. They have, it's like worldwide. They have one in New York, Australia, London, Manchester, Spain. Yeah. So it's so crazy, because like I think almost for a year I just kept checking the website every week almost, and I was like, okay, like one day, like I started losing a lot of hair. because you're so stressed out. Yeah, from work. Like, I literally had a bald spot. I have pictures I can show you later. But it was, like, this, like, size of, like, bigger than the size of a quarter. And that's how I knew, like, I was just, like, really stressed. And, like, my body was just, like, this is, like, not a lifestyle you can keep up. It was, like, very toxic work environment. Like, you know, just, like, a lot of, pressure. Like, so much stress. So, one day, I just, like, was, like, really rude with myself. I was, like, you keep checking this website, like, every week. Mm. Like, okay, let's just, like, I just, like, laid out the pros and cons. I was, like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. So, like, obviously, it was scary, like, quitting my job. And, like, I don't know. Because I was, like, 25. Mm. So, I was, like, holy shit, you're going to do a career change at 25. That's crazy. Mm. But, like, I thought about it, and I was, like, I'd rather, because the course is, like, 3 months intensive course. So, I was, like, what is 3 months to the rest of my life? Right. Like, if I can just endure those 3 months. So, I, like, made sure I had enough, like, you know, I was, like, financially going to be okay. So, right. Then I, like, you know, made sure, like, that was all good. But then I just thought about it from a better, like, a bigger perspective, because, like, those 3 months is, like, I can, like, I can risk that, right? Yeah. Like, so it's either, like, I don't do this and I keep working this job that I hate and, like, you know, just like that, like, doesn't bring me joy and just, like, do this, or I can, like, take 3 months off, like, work really hard in this program, like, graduate with, like, fire portfolio, and yeah, then, like, completely change my career course and, like, or my career, what is it, career,
mm-hmm, the path,
yeah, yeah, career, yeah, path. And then yeah, so then I did that. Oh, and now, well, I'm here.
how much was the course?
The course was, I can't remember exactly, but it was about, like, 13k, so it was, like, not, oh, got it, cheap. Mm. But I just thought about it as, like, an investment in yourself, right? Like, I'm just investing in myself and, like, my future. Mm. And, like, it kind of, I'm really grateful because, like, I didn't have any student loans because I had, like, yeah, scholarships and stuff. So I, like, kind of thought about it like that. Like, okay, like, you didn't have to, like, really pay much out of pocket for college. Like, you can do this for yourself. So,
so it's kind of like those coding boot camps.
Yeah, exactly. People,
yeah, it's like an intensive course that you have to pay for. But yeah, then when you come out of it, you have kind of, like, contacts, or, like, a, yeah, portfolio or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
And you know what, like, I 100% like really recommend this to anyone, because, like, I have a lot of people, like, friends that I've known in the past that were, like, you know, working a job, like, I don't know, maybe, like, they were, like, I even had a friend who was studying for med school. Like, she, like, graduated from a really nice university, and, like, she was studying for, like, a year, and then she was like, you know what, fuck this, I don't want to do this anymore. And then she, wow, like, ended up doing, like, one of those, like, boot camps. Uh-huh. And now she, like, loved her job, makes good money. Like, I feel like I've never heard, like, a fail, like, someone failing, or, like, a bad, like, outcome. Yeah, from, like, those kind of things,
you know. But it's, like, interesting, because those kind of boot camps make me wonder, like, why did we go to college?
Yeah,
you
know,
no, what I mean? Like, really? Why did I,
yeah, no,
go to school for 4 years if I'm gonna, like, in 3 months or whatever, how long it is, I can,
for sure,
I can just, like, get a job from purely those,
yeah,
that short time. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
It's so crazy, because, like, I do remember, like, after high school, a part of me was like, dang, like, do I even want to go to college? But I was like, that's ridiculous, Daisy. Like, you can't, if, like, you don't think like that. Like, of course you have to go, you know? So, yeah, like, but it's crazy. Like, it's just society standards, right? Like, I feel like later, if I have kids and they're like, dude, I don't want to go to college, I'd be like, okay, like, if you can find, like, a different way, mm-hmm, to, like, do what you want to do, then, like, I'll be supportive. But I feel like definitely, like, going that traditional route of, like, going to college and whatever is, like, not the only way to go about life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Which is so interesting, because I feel like because our parents don't understand that, mm-hmm, it's a lot harder for us to not follow that traditional route.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that is hard, especially with, like, yeah, Korean American parents. Like, yeah, I feel like everyone can relate to that pressure. Yeah.
Because, yeah, for us, like, it's easy for us to say that about our kids because we're experiencing the same thing.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I know a lot of people who they don't feel like they can do truly what they want because of their parents' expectations, or, like, not even that, but, like, a personal responsibility they feel,
right,
you know. So, like, I get both sides. I think, I mean, maybe for, like, you and I, we're kind of in a more fortunate position where we can do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For sure. I think, like, because, like, now I realize it's not so black and white. Like, I feel, right, like there's always ways that you can still do what, I don't know, makes you happy or feel fulfilled, you know?
For sure. Because,
like, for some people, like, some people are so, like, they are so creative and, like, they want to do creative stuff, but then they also still love their 9-to-5 job. Like, some, mm, people thrive from that. So, like, it's not like, I know, like, for some people, like, having, like, a corporate job, like, doesn't sound sexy at all, but for some people, it's, like, they value, like, stability, right? Yeah. And like,
and structure.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I feel like everyone just has like different values, and like I feel like even if they're still working that 9-to-5, like that, and that's like what brings them joy, then that's fine. But then like they might still find other ways to like, you know, be creative or like do what really, I don't know, makes them happy.
Yeah. And I also feel like COVID, or just like when we were all in quarantine, that kind of became a wake-up call for a lot of people, especially my friends too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because like you realize that this stable path isn't so stable either.
Yeah,
and like, so I saw so many people starting their own businesses, or like doing their creative side project, and like I started this podcast. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like everyone just started doing something.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Which was kind of, it was interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like, I think that's what's like the beautiful thing that happened, like, you know, throughout this whole thing, is like I feel like a lot of people like really like realize like, holy shit, we literally just have this one life.
Yeah,
like this one life. Yeah. To like do whatever you like, I don't know, like, and it just like really pushed people to like really like reevaluate their values and like think about what really makes them happy, and like not care about like what other people think. Because I feel like the one thing that stops a lot of people from doing things, like maybe like starting a podcast or like a YouTube channel or whatever, or a blog, like they're just scared of like what other people might think, right? Exactly. Like for me, I honestly struggle with that a lot.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, like I like not in terms of like, because like generally speaking, I don't really care what people say about me, but I don't know why, but I'm so shy about like putting myself out there in a way. I know like some people like they hear me say them, they're like, what, no you don't. but then it is like very like scary putting yourself out there, right? It like is. You're just, it's such a vulnerable place. But I think like that's where a lot of beautiful things happen, because like the more we share our story and the more fearless we are with like doing what we love, then like the more other people can relate, and like
exactly
it inspires them to start, you know.
I think that's the biggest takeaway I got from doing this is, like, I was so afraid. But then luckily I had, like, Michelle and Frisia, who were there, like from the beginning. Yeah, they were just like, dude, that's just amazing. Do it. Like, just start it. And so I was like, you know what? F if you guys are doing it, I'm going to do it. So I did it. And then that's, like, I think because the response was so good, and everyone was just like, people DM me their stories. And they're like, oh, like, Esther, when you shared this, like, you know, I felt really understood and seen, and like God. I'm so grateful that you shared. And so like it's things like that when I'm like, oh shoot,
like this, like, is why you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just kind of like there's so much power in sharing your story, like no matter how much you think it doesn't matter, or like, you know, I'm sure there are going to be people who judge, like, you know,
for sure.
There's always going to be people who are just going to hate and judge whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you can kind of positively impact anyone, someone, then it's like person, like it's so rewarding. Like I don't think I really understood how that felt until recently. So like, I mean, if you want to do it,
wait, I'm so proud of you. I feel like exactly, like also like the people that are like hating or just like probably just jealous and upset because like that's maybe something that they want to do but they're too scared to do, right? And I feel like that's like so amazing that there are people, like, you know, there's always gonna be someone that can like resonate with your story and like relate. And like I think like I like just read this quote recently about like, you know, Brene Brown. Like she, I love her, but she like said something how like real genuine human connection is like when people feel like seen, heard and valued. Right? And I feel like that's like that's like the best part of being alive, right? Like connecting with like other people.
And dude, for sure. I think as I get older, I'm starting to value that more, that like genuine human connection.
Yeah, for sure. Like I think like because like my sister is very much like that, and like she really inspires me a lot, because like I really, that's just like what I like tell myself almost every day, is like, you know, at the end of the day, like when we're like on our deathbed, like even though it sounds kind of morbid, like, you know, like we're not gonna think about how much money we made or like our like title with our job, right? Like we're like, the only thing that we're gonna think about is like, you know, like all the like genuine human connections like we've made, like whose lives did we like touch, and like how, like did we better someone else's life just by being in it, you know? Like those kind of thoughts are, feel like, are the things that we'll think about more than like, oh my god, how much money did I make, like
exactly
what did I like buy or like own. And
yeah, that was something that my boyfriend actually asked me when we first started kind of like talking, when he was like, when you're gone, like what do you want people to remember you for?
Yeah.
And like, or like what's something you want to leave behind?
Yeah.
And then I don't know why, but I didn't know how to answer at first because I was like, oh shoot, that's such a good question. Yeah, because it's like after you're gone, what's gonna be left of you here? Is like, what do you want to leave behind? Because everything else doesn't really matter. And I feel like whatever that answer is kind of what you should be building your life towards,
for sure, you know? Like your values. Yeah. Like once you have like your, like I feel like everyone, like we should like have like a clear idea of what our values are and like align our life with those values, and the way we live every day should like embody those values, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm getting goosebumps right now.
You are.
It's like I'm having like another epiphany. I'm like,
you are. All right, we're gonna pause here real quick because I have something exciting to share with you guys. This episode is sponsored by Athena Club, which is a sustainable and cruelty-free wellness brand, and I recently got to try a few of their products, particularly the Athena Club razor. And prior to this, I was just using the cheap generic branded ones, and I would always find myself getting ingrown hairs, and I would have to replace the dull blades pretty often. But with the Athena Club razor, it actually has the sharpest patented blade on the market, so you'll get a super smooth shave every single time, which is great because I have pretty prickly legs. And it also actually has a water-activated serum with shea butter and hyaluronic acid, so it's perfect for this dry winter weather. Plus, it's only $9, and you'll get 2 razor heads, a magnetic holder, and you can choose from 6 colors. I got the sky blue. Even if you don't need a razor, honestly, check it out anyways, because they have so many different self-care products, and it's all super affordable. There's probiotics, multivitamins, face wipes, deodorants, pads, tampons, honestly, just any self-care product you could think of. Plus, their packaging is really cute. Just head on over to athenaclub.com. That's athenaclub.com, and use promo code on the floor without any spaces, and you'll get 20% off your first order. Okay, I guess to kind of backtrack to the whole corporate to freelance transition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you, I guess, walk my listeners and like I guess me too, like how you really did that, because we kind of just like brushed over it. Mm-hmm. But like, did you, like when you quit your job, did you already have all these contacts lined up, like after you finished the course and everything?
Yeah. Okay, wait, so it's actually interesting. I didn't finish the course.
Well, you did.
Yeah, so this is what happened. So I started January 2020, right? Mm-hmm. I started the course 3 months ish it was supposed to end in April, right? Mm-hmm. So then the pandemic hit, right? So then around like early March, yeah, they were like, okay, we have to move to online. And I was like, hell no. I paid like $13,000. Like if I wanted to learn online, then like I would have done like Skillshare or like YouTube. Like I could have totally taught myself.
Yeah.
But so I was like, I will just like return back to the program like once you guys do in person again. And they're like, okay, that's fine. But then it never happened, right?
Oh,
so then
my gosh.
So like the people that I was in class with, they ended up finishing online, but I didn't. But then it was so crazy because like shortly after, because like, well, actually, like I was always freelancing on the side. So like even when I was working that PR job, I was like freelancing like social media, right?
Oh, okay.
So I was still having like my clients, and I was like still working. And then while I was like during, right, you know, like the beginning of quarantine when it like first hit and like people were like scared to even like go to the grocery stores, mm-hmm. and stuff, like so like I was really utilizing that time to like really like hone in my skills. So I was like, I from everything I learned in school so far, I just like kept practicing like graphic design. I just like kept doing it because like it genuinely brought me joy, and like, I realized like, holy shit, I finally found like what I really want to do in life, mm-hmm. right? So like I was excited to do it every day, so I like would just keep practicing. And then like eventually, so I was always scared to like share my work, right? That's like my, like I said earlier, like I'm very like always like scared of like putting myself out there. But then I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it. So I just started sharing more of my work. And then someone like reached out to me, this girl I know in LA. So I really feel like every job and opportunity I've had is like through people I knew. So it's always about connections. I never really did like cold call or like reach out to people like, hey, like do you need like people to help you with XYZ. Like I just, it always just kind of happened for me. And so this girl just like messaged me. I was like, hey, like I actually have, do you do graphic design? I was like, yeah. I just like was like, yeah, I do it. And then she was like, oh, there's like this client that like, you know, they need help with graphic design, and it ended up being BeautyCon. So then I just started working with them, freelancing with them, and then everything just kind of started snowballing from there. So then I really believe in the whole like fake it till you make it thing.
Oh,
because I feel like the more I just like told myself like, no, this is like, you know, it's all about manifesting, right?
Yeah.
I literally had like a whole manifestation sheet in my, or like page in my journal where I wrote like, you know, I'm gonna have like be working like this with this client, like, you know, I just like making X amount of money. I like was like very detailed, and like everything really just happened so like serendipitously. Like I didn't have to like everything. I don't know. It's just so weird. Awesome. I feel like the more good energy you put out, and like it's just all about manifesting. But
I totally agree with the manifesting thing. That's so how I moved to New York. I was just like, by 2020 I'm a move.
Oh my god, that's so crazy. Just made it happen. Yeah. So then after that I just started getting more clients. Mm-hmm. A lot of like people just started reaching out to me, and then now it's just it's so funny because like I'm supposed to start the program again, like it's not in person, but I was like, you know what, I still want to finish it because I paid for it. Mm-hmm. So it's online still, and I'm starting again next week. So then I paused a lot of my clients right now, and I told them like what's happening with me, because like I'm have to like, it's like 8 to 5 like intensive program. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing that. And then
do you feel like you still need that extra schooling and portfolio even though you have all of these clients now?
You know, like that's why a part of me, like even one of my clients was like, are you doing it because like you really want to, or like because you paid for it? And I was like, good question. Mm-hmm. A part of me, like I think I just like always want to have a student mindset, and I feel like that's like really important, because like I don't want to say like, oh, because I already have all these clients, like I don't need to do any more school. I think like there's always stuff I can learn. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I should always have a growth mindset, and I just feel like it would be if anything, it would be good for me, right? It would be a good opportunity to like refine my skills and like, you know, finally finish my portfolio, because it's like still been like a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And I think like it would only be good for me, I think. So right.
Yeah. Oh, but that's a good mindset to have, to feel like you can always learn something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like a part of me is like, man, like I don't want to do this, but then I try to like shift my perspective, and I'm like Daisy a year ago would have been so excited about this. Mm-hmm. So like let's just like switch our mindset and like just try to like stick it through, and just like stay positive. And
damn, that's awesome. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was also wondering like how your parents responded to you wanting to go freelance.
Well, like I think I'm very very blessed with parents who were very much like pro, like do whatever makes you happy, which I know is very rare, but like I think my dad has he's an entrepreneur too, so like he like came from nothing, and like very poor family, and like, you know, we were like broke when we first moved to America. I remember sleeping on the floor, and like, you know, but he was able to like take that risk and like, you know, make a life for him and his family. So I think like he gets it, and like he's very like still has a very like young mindset, like he's very like empathetic, and like he like understands like where we stand, right? So I think also just because like my sister is also freelances design. So like I think they're very much like they know that we're not dumb, and they like trust us that we won't like fail, because like I think all of us just really have that grit, and like that, I don't know, my dad called it yokshin, kind of like that greed to like ambition to like really like work hard for like what we really want. So I think like they weren't really worried. I mean, maybe they were a little bit concerned, but they never expressed it to me. They were always just like, okay, I believe you, and I believe in you, and like I know that you'll be fine. So
it's so good.
So I think we're very lucky.
Because like thankfully, that was kind of like me too. My mom's never been like, oh, you have to, you know,
go to college and be a lawyer and
Like doctor or whatever. Like my brother is studying to be a teacher right now.
Oh really?
And awesome. I'm in editorial, so both of us, we're not going to be making like money. But I think she's just like, as long as you guys are happy, that's kind of what more can she. I feel like that's what parents, all they want is for their kids to be happy.
And like feel fulfilled.
And the reason why parents might push some sort of like crazy career or a more traditional career onto you is because they think that's what happiness is. You know, like being stable and being financially I guess being financially stable is like something that they think brings happiness.
Yeah. Well, I think like, cause like they know that like, I remember even when I was younger, I expressed this to him. I was like, I don't want to be like a millionaire. Like, I don't have to make like a shit ton of money to be happy. Mm. So like they understood that, but then they're just like, yeah, but like, we just like, don't want you to like struggle or like stress about money. Exactly. So I was like, they're like, as long as you're not there, like, you know, where at a point where you're like stressing and like always like worried about money, then like you'll like, it's like you're good kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And I guess it's because a lot of our parents struggled financially that they just don't want us to go through it, so that's why they're like, go the more safe route, go the more like, you went to college, just use that degree and get like a very stable job.
Yeah, I totally get that, because like as a parent, like you just like don't want to see your kids struggle.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
yeah,
that would be heartbreaking. But
yeah, because like they struggled, so they don't want that to fall on you either. And I feel like it also, I don't know if it's for everyone, but like I feel like for my mom, it's, she never wants to feel like she, or how do I word this? Like, she, I think, feels very apologetic towards me and my brother a lot, because she thinks like she wasn't able to provide as much, or like, yeah, she always says that, like, oh, like, 엄마는 너, 너네들한테 너무 미안해, like, she's always like, oh, I'm very sorry towards you guys, because, you know, I couldn't give you guys like all these things or whatever, and so she never wants us to feel that way either.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that too,
right? Yeah. But wouldn't you have like, not like, cause I think like my parents kind of feel the same way to a certain extent too, but then like for me, I'm like, but I wouldn't have wanted to have been raised any other way, right?
Yeah,
like,
same.
Like, look at us, we're fine.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I'm like, we're, I think, good. I turned out fine. Yeah. Like, what are you trying to say?
Exactly.
Yeah, and if anything, it just kind of makes you appreciate things more, and like,
for sure,
that work ethic, it comes from that also.
Yeah. That self-motivation. It's like all driven by yourself.
Yeah. Wait, were you surrounded by a lot of other Asians in Georgia?
Yeah, like growing up. Mm. Yeah, for sure. Because I went to a high school. Like, if you literally look at my high school yearbook, there's like so many Kims, Parks. Oh. Like, yeah, like there's so many. Because like I grew up in like the suburbs of Georgia. Mm. There's like a big, pretty big Korean community there. So, yeah.
So then were you always... like, did you feel comfortable being, I guess, Asian?
Yeah, well, it's so weird because, like, I think growing up, like, I wasn't proud to be Korean, like, that much, like, growing up. Like, I think because, like, I feel like we all had this experience because, like, when I was, like, because it wasn't only until high school where there were a lot of Koreans, but then, like, elementary school and all that, like, I went to, like, I moved around a lot when I was a kid. So, you know, you just, I was, like, a lot of the times, like, the only Asian. So, I was, like, that typical, you know, like, fresh off the boat story, right? It's like, why do I look different? Why is my lunch like this? Right. Like, you know, why doesn't my mom like pack me Lunchables? Like, kind of like, you know, all that whole story. It's like, you could relate to that, right?
Yeah, for sure. And like, I had to go to ESL, even though I spoke perfect English.
Me too. Like, because I was so shy, I wouldn't talk, that like the teacher thought I like
couldn't speak English.
Yeah, what, you too?
Or like, it's because like my main language at home was Korean, so I was forced to go to ESL, even though I was more comfortable speaking English.
That's so wild. I think like, yeah, so like I think growing up, like I was like not proud, like I wasn't very like in tune with my culture, like I didn't know much, and even like when I was in high school, and like even though I did have a lot of Korean friends, a lot of them were like not like fob Koreans.
Oh.
So like I don't know, I just like, I feel that's why a part of me felt a little bit of shame when I got older and I became an adult, and that's kind of the reason why I moved to Korea, because I was like, I need to like know more about my culture. Like I felt like I didn't know much, because like even though my parents, like I speak like pretty much Korean to them most of the time, like there's so much about Korean history and culture that I just like wasn't aware of at all, right? So I think to like reconnect with that, like my roots, I like really wanted to, like that's like kind of why I went to Korea.
Oh, how long were you there?
I was there for like a year and some change, but I traveled around a lot like while I was there, because like after I graduated college, I was like, all right, peace, like I'm out of here. Like I like, because I got like bitten by the travel bug. I was like, this is what life's about. Like I feel like I just want to travel for the rest of my life. Like I did, I thought that I would be like a nomad like all my life. Like that's how much I love traveling. But then I like remember like after college, like literally like a few days after my graduation, I like had a one way to Asia, and then I just ended up never leaving.
Oh shoot.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so
wait, sorry, when was this, when you were
2017 after I graduated.
Oh, it was college. Recent.
Yeah, I guess. Oh. It feels like so long ago though. What the hell?
Yeah.
Time
oh wow.
Moves. Yeah.
So then do you feel like you're more in tune with your culture and your background now?
I think so, because like I spent a lot of time with my family in Korea and they're like super Korean, like my harmony is straight up like Korean. So like I think, yeah, like maybe my Korean speaking skills didn't improve that much, but I think like, you know, I learned a lot about like Korean culture, history, you know. I like went to like the countryside of Korea a lot to like either by myself on a bus, and like I'll go to like a Buddhist temple and like, I don't know, just like spend a weekend there. Or like I even went on like a road trip with my grandparents and my uncle, and like we're in the town that they grew up in, like the countryside of Korea. So like I like just try to like really see more of it, more than just like what people see on like Instagram and like Seoul, you know.
That's so cool. I haven't been to Korea since like I was first grade, I think.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah. I can't wait till the day I go.
Dude, when you go, you're gonna have so much fun.
Yeah, I want to go with friends. Yeah, I feel like it's more fun as an adult.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Then are your parents very like on you about like dating another Korean and like dating just like getting married by this age or whatever?
Oh my god, it's so funny you mentioned that, because I think now they know better not to like
push you,
because I think like now they're like, okay, like I don't know, because it's my sister just got engaged, right? So then they're always like, oh, like, you know, like you need to like hurry up and find someone too, like. And I think like, but then I'm very much like, I remember I have like distinct memories of me as a kid telling my parents like, I'm never gonna get married.
Really?
I'm gonna be, yeah, I like really just like never really did. But like now I'm at a point where like, oh, like having a life partner would be nice, you know. But yeah, they definitely sometimes will, like, sprinkle in a few, like, little, like, questioning, like, oh, are you dating anyone? Like, did you find anyone yet? Like, yeah. But then also, because, like, my parents got married really early. Like, my mom had, like, got married probably, like, 21, 22 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, then, like, yeah, maybe 22. So, like, I think because she got married so early, she would always be, like, don't get married early, don't get married early. So, like, she even made me, like, pinky promise her that I wouldn't get married till, like, I'm at least like 28 when I was like really young, because she was like, I want you to live your life. And like that's why I like tell her about all my dates in New York, and then she like loves listening about it, because she's like, I'm like living vicariously through you. She's like, because I couldn't do it, like you should do it for me, kind of thing.
So then what age do you want to get married, like 28, 30, or?
Oh my god, I don't even know. I feel like the ideal age would maybe be like 32, 33, but I guess it like really depends on like if I haven't find anyone.
So you're looking.
I guess I don't think I'm like really looking as much anymore. I think like I'm very much like, if it happens, right, I would be so, I'm like, I just have like an open mind and open heart always. But I don't think like I'm very like, I don't want to be like eager and be like, oh my god, I'm like looking for my husband, you know. I think like if it, I just like want it to happen like very organically. I guess.
Do you have any interesting dating stories? So you've been on a couple dates during COVID, right?
I did, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Safely, of course. Like, I feel like it's, like, you just have to, like, always make sure that you're not, like, a psychopath or something.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's so funny because, like, before I ever meet up with anyone, I always, like, I'm, like, very, like, transparent. I'm, like, gotta make sure you're, like, not a psychopath. So, like, I have to, like, make sure, like, I'm, like, I have, like, a good idea of who they are. And, right. Like,
what constitutes a good date for you, where you're like, oh, I want to go on another date with them? And then,
oh my god, I guess like, okay, so now I'm very like, I like to know like what they prioritize in life and their values. And like I feel like for me, like I really love when like I like really judge the date kind of by like how good it is, like by like the kind of questions they ask me, because it like shows them like what they want to know about me, and if they like actually really like care to get to know me, you know. And like someone who's like very like self-aware and just like very in tune with who they are and like their values, I feel like that's like the most attractive thing to me. Right? And like just connecting on that, because I really believe like two people, like if you really want it to work out to like the end of it, like you really got to have the same values, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I really value emotional intelligence.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, because you don't want a dude that's, like, a grown-ass man, but, like, acting up in public, like, yelling or, like, I don't know, it could be very toxic if they're not, right?
I agree. And also it's just kind of hard to communicate with them.
Yeah, because like already like we're very like emotional beings, right? Yeah. So like if you can't connect with them on that different level, it's like hard to have a relationship with them.
Yeah, but also isn't it hard to gauge that from one date?
Yeah, I guess so. But then I think because like a lot of times I've realized like there are men who are like very like, because I ask a lot of like deep questions like on the first date. Like I've literally had dates where we just like talk about like childhood trauma and like,
just, like I feel like you'd be really good just like judging from our conversation today. Like I just met you.
Yeah, I don't know, I just like love getting to know people on a deeper level. Like I really hate surface level conversations, so like I think like I will like ask a lot of questions, and like I guess I also judge them and like the questions they ask me, but also like how they answer and how much they're, because I know like a lot of people, they're like scared to be vulnerable, right? But like I don't know, I guess like because I guess I've been told that I do help people feel comfortable in a way, so like I think like once they feel safe and like know that it's like a no judgment zone, then like they slowly start to like open up. And yeah, I guess, I don't know, I guess it is sometimes hard because, like, some people I've had some, for the most part, they've been, like, very, very open, but I did have instances where it just didn't seem like they were trying to, like, really let somebody in, and that kind of shows me they're not maybe, like, emotionally ready to ever even, like, I don't know, have some sort of, like, emotional investment.
Yeah, that's true. If I think back on, like, the dates that I've been on, the ones that I just wasn't down to go on a second date, it was usually because I felt like the conversation wasn't going anywhere, right? Like it's just very surface level, and I feel like it just feels dry.
Yeah, you know, because we crave that human connection.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because someone can be fun, you know, but like it just depends on what you're looking for, I guess.
I think the best is when you can have both, you know, someone you can have fun with but also have the like deeper emotional connection with.
For sure.
That's why dating is hard.
Yeah,
because like finding someone who you can connect with is so much more rare than you think.
Rare as you get older, you realize that, right? Because like when you're younger, you just like hang out with whoever, and like when you like someone, it's just literally just because they're cute or something, like you know, you don't really think about like, oh my gosh, like do they value family, like what do they really want for their future, like you don't think about these things that much when you're younger. But like now you have this whole long ass checklist, and like you know.
So what's on your checklist?
Oh my gosh, I guess it's all just like what I've said before, just like someone who's like self-aware, like they have to be like spiritual in a sense, not like spiritual but like believe in something, like not like atheist, you know. Just like value, like I don't know, like helping others, and like I don't know, like just like developing your meaningful relationships more than like, because I remember like the last person I went on a date with, like he was like, it was just very like that was, I guess like this was the most like surface level date I had, and I could tell just by like his answers and like the way he just like only talked about himself, I was just like, oh my god, this is like not gonna work. But he was like talking about like going to parties and like, you know, like the New York like scene and like all this stuff, and I was just like, I have no interest in that whatsoever. So it was just like very like bleh for me, you know.
Yeah, it's not even about like, at that point it was just you guys don't meet eye to eye on things, like your values are different,
right?
Like, he likes that scene, which there's nothing wrong with, and he'll probably find someone who also likes it, but like, if you don't, then
exactly. So that was like a drawing point for me.
Damn, I mean, if there are any single guys, I'm just kidding. No guys listen to this.
But for real, call me.
Her number is.
Oh my god. My mom like tries to set me up on dates a lot.
Wait, she does?
Yeah, like I remember when I was living in Korea, she like wanted my aunt to set me up, like Sogeting, like blind date, because you know in Korea they do that a lot.
Yeah, they do.
And I was like, no, and she like sent me a photo. I was like, hell no. And then, but then she like put me in a chat room with him, and then like,
and then she left.
Yeah, and then like, yeah, that's happened a couple times.
Yo, that's so kind of, I mean, it's kind of nice. Like your mom is out there like looking out for you.
Or do you like tell your parents like talk to your parents about like your dating life though? Like tell them like when you're dating someone and like.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's good.
I'm pretty open with my mom and just like my family. Like they know I'm dating right now, and.
Does your audience know that you're dating right now?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I think it's not a secret, you know. My mom though, she's one of those people who, when she knows that one of her kids is dating, she's very how do I say this? She's very interested or like eager to know. Aww. She's very curious.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice because like she's like, oh, like I told her, and then she was like, oh, when are you visiting? Like when are you visiting with him? Like to Oregon?
My God. But like your parents,
I grew up in Oregon.
What?
Yeah, for most of my life. Like my brother was born in Oregon, and then we moved to California when I was in 8th grade. Yeah. I know.
So she doesn't live in California anymore?
No. So when I moved to New York last year, she moved back to Oregon.
Dude, I love Oregon. That's crazy. You've been?
Yeah.
Wait, Portland or?
Yeah, so I lived in the suburbs a little outside of Portland.
Yeah.
But like Portland was like a 15-minute drive.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Portland's like, it's not even a city to me. It's like a small little town.
It is.
It's so cute.
Yeah. It's very, people always say, I don't know where I read this, but someone was like, oh, Portland is the place where like 20-year-olds go to retire.
Oh my gosh.
Or something like that. You know what I mean?
I didn't kind of see that.
It's like such a quiet town.
Yeah. But it's like so fun. Like it's just like, I feel like there's a lot to do there, and there's like so many cute like cafes, like farmers market.
Yeah. I feel like if you're a creative, it's a very good city. And also like if you're into nature and just.
Yeah, there's so much. Like the Oregon coast.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. I would be down to live there one day.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I imagine Georgia to be like.
Oh my God, no.
Oh, it's not? Oh.
Portland is so much more nicer than Georgia, I think.
Really?
But maybe I'm biased, but like, because like the nature in itself, like we don't really have like beautiful mountains. Mm. All our mountains are just like, I don't know. I feel like it's just different on the West Coast.
Mm.
The weather is probably nicer. I know it's like really gloomy, but then like generally it's like not humid, right?
Yeah. It's never humid. I mean, it's raining like 90% of the year, but I feel like that's why, I think because I grew up just surrounded by nature and like always going camping and doing that like green is very healing for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right?
I'm the same
Yeah,
way.
Like just being in nature, it just brings me back.
Yeah, like,
it's
sure.
Like a good escape.
Yeah, like every time I visit Georgia to see my family, I always end up extending my trip because I just like, they have like this like green like room where it's just like outside and I just like love sitting there and just, there's so many trees and it's nice.
Yeah. Actually, last night I was watching this video with my boyfriend. Someone was going from New York to LA on the Amtrak.
Oh my God.
And then on the train, there's like those huge windows where you could just sit and like you basically you're seeing all of America on the train.
It's so
I saw
nice.
That and I was like, dude, I want to do that. Yeah. Like, it looks so cool.
I saw this like random TikTok of this girl who did it. And I think it was like it's a long trip, but like just like so beautiful.
Yeah. I was like, why doesn't everyone do this?
Yeah.
Like,
it's,
that
like,
looks
pretty
so
cheap.
Cool. Yeah. Because like for a while I was like, oh, I really want to do a cross country road trip.
Yeah.
But then when I saw that, I was like, wait, might as well just like take the train.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the sights are prettier than if you're driving like on a highway.
Yeah.
But
I actually met this Australian girl who's like visiting America and she was just like traveling all throughout the United States and she was like doing Amtrak. Because like you could literally drop off anytime you want.
Mm.
And she would like totally recommend it. Like it's better than like having a car in her perspective because like you don't have to actually drive. You just sit there and like go off in any town you want to stop in and then get back on.
Oh my God, yeah. After COVID, I think that's the first thing I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
that sounds fun. Okay, so I guess on that note though, do you have anything coming up for you besides your course that you're starting next week?
So like after, I guess like once I finish the course, like I'll have my website live.
Oh.
And I think I'm really excited about it because along with like my website, I have like my portfolio.
Mm-mm-mm.
And like my past work, like examples and like past clients, but I want to like set up a shop for like prints and maybe like I want to make like mugs and like different stuff, like maybe like t-shirts or just like random stuff, but I kind of want to set up a shop, so I hope, I don't know, that would be live. And then I think that's the most.
Wait, that's so cool. You're gonna start your own merch.
Yeah.
I would love to do that one day.
You should. Dude, on the floor merch, you should totally do that.
Would people wear it? I don't think
so. Yeah, for sure.
We'll see. I don't know if I would wear it.
That's imposter syndrome.
Oh, is it? Oh, damn it. I know. Snap back of it.
Yeah, that's like the hardest thing to get over for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, if people want to stay up to date with you, though, where can they find you?
I guess Instagram's the most, right? I'm more active on Instagram. Okay. It's just like at Daisy Pyo.
Can you spell it?
DAISYPYO.
Okay, cool. Is that your main handle?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So thanks, Daisy, for coming on as a guest. I know it's like, it's always nerve-wracking to do this. Yeah. Like, I always say, as soon as the record button starts, you're just like, oh. Like but that. You were really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you should come on again. You're always welcome. So.
Really? Oh my gosh. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will tune in again in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.